Can I want to have us read two quick verses before you sit, if you don't mind. I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to skip all the way down to verse 13. Galatians 5, verse 1 and verse 13. If you have your Bible, you can use your Bible. You've got your phone app, probably. I love my phone app Bible. We'll have it on the screen, too, if you don't have either one of those. Galatians 5, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible today. This is Paul. He's writing to this church in the region of Galatia, okay? And there's a whole letter here, four chapters before this. But in chapter 5, he says this. For freedom, Christ set us free. It says, for freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. Verse 13. For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. Praise God. You can be seated this morning. This idea of freedom that Paul's talking about is very interesting. Sometimes when I read scripture, I tell you, I sometimes see kind of a thread through scripture, and I'm like, oh, this is there. And believe me, there's a thread with freedom. But sometimes if you're ever reading and you read one simple verse, God will just start to really expound on that verse. I think he does it for everybody if we're willing to take the time and sit with that verse. But in this verse, there's a couple things that really stuck out to me, and I want to go through them this morning, and hopefully we can learn a little something about freedom. This morning I want to talk on the idea that we are freed to be free. Freed to be free. It's not a play on words. I'm taking words out of the Bible. Paul literally said, for freedom he set us free. We are freed to be free. This idea of freedom starts all the way in the Old Testament, but there's this Hebrew idea of freedom that I think is really important to understand. Sometimes in Hebrew, they would have a concept of, and this is when you're looking at the words that the Bible was written, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, you'll see this concept of what they had, and they would use that concept to define certain things. So for example, there is a word in Hebrew, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it means unimpeded, free movement, a free flow. There's nothing standing in the way. There's nothing holding you back. That's this concept that they have. And what they did is they've taken that concept, and then when they see certain things, they'll use that word that means unimpeded or free-flowing or nothing holding you back, and they'll use the basis of that word to describe something else. So let me give you the best example that I really like. How many people have ever seen a swallow, a bird, flying? How many people have seen it when you're mowing the lawn? Yeah, and what do? They're like diving, and they're tweet, tweet, and they're diving. I thought they were like, I was mowing over their eggs or something. I didn't know. But they're looking for bugs. I'm apparently stirring up bugs, Jane told me this morning. I'm stirring up bugs and flies and these birds. And what's beautiful about the swallow is that the swallow literally will like swoop. And it's one of the most gracious bird flights that you see. I know the eagles are flying high and they're floating in the atmosphere, but these are just smooth. There's nothing holding them back. And so when the Hebrew nation saw a swallow, they used the same word of unimpeded movement and freedom of flow to use the word for swallow. That's the word for swallow. It's also the same word they would use for liberty or freedom. This idea that there's nothing holding you back, you're not impeded in your journey, there's nothing stopping you, you have the ability to move freely. Hence their idea, freedom. Jesus came in the New Testament, and he sits down at a synagogue one time, and they say, hey, would you read some scripture from us? And he reads back from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 61. I want to read just the first verse. The first lesson I want to see from this idea of Galatians 1 is for freedom Christ set us free. Stand firm then and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. The first thing I see is that freedom comes from Christ. Okay? And we're going to see that here. Jesus, he picks up the scripture and he reads it and he reads Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, and now he's going to tell us why, what the Spirit of the Lord has called him to do, to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. Jesus' mission on this earth was to provide freedom, unimpeded movement, free flow, the ability to move without someone holding you back. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners. And then when he gets done in Luke 4:20, he takes it, you know, he's reading the scripture. It's a scroll, not a book. But I can imagine he takes the scripture, the scroll. It says in verse 20, it says, and he rolls up the scroll. He hands it back to the attendant. He sits down. And then he drops the mic and he says, today as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled. Jesus is showing them that freedom will only come from him. Freedom is not something that we can provide for ourselves. Paul is reiterating this in Galatians 5:1, that freedom comes from Christ. In fact, Jesus in John 8:36, he says, if the Son sets you free, then you're really free. Implying that you cannot be really free. But freedom from the Son is real freedom, complete, unimpeded, unstoppable, unholding back, whatever. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So we know that Christ is what frees us. It's not something we can provide for ourselves. That's what we see in Scripture. But Paul's also talking about something else. It's this idea of, okay, there's freedom and it's provided by Christ, but what am I free from? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. At least that's the question I asked as I'm reading. Well, this church in Galatia, they had been converted, they had been saved, they had received the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they start saying, they get these people coming in and saying, hey, guess what? Maybe you need to go back to following some of those laws from Exodus. You know, you forgot that one, Law 612. Hey, maybe you need to go back to being circumcised. And they started talking to him about this law. You know, if you really want to be saved, if you really want to experience freedom, you need to follow the law. You got to earn your salvation. But what Paul says throughout the first four chapters and even the rest of Galatians is that this idea of legalism, of earning your own salvation, will literally make you slaves to your own effort. So in an effort to provide your own freedom by working for it, by earning it, you will just become slaves to the work. You will become slaves to your effort. You will become slaves to legalism. And this is not freedom. And so the first thing that we are free from is we are free from having to earn it. We are free from legalism. The second thing we are free from is sin and the power that sin has over us. Sin is any choice in thought or word or deed that sets itself's will above God's will. It's essentially our human will asserting itself against their maker. We saw the very first sin, and what was it? We saw the action, but what was behind the action was a will to set itself, you shall be like God's. You shall be like him. To set itself above. Who's the father of all lies? The devil. How did he start? What was his sin? Trying to put himself on high with God. It's our human will asserting itself against its maker, which then takes the form of acts that we see. So we might say, well, sin is murder. Yes, but it's the will behind the murder where the sin begins. And so Paul says in verse 13, he says, don't use freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. So the second thing that we are free from is we are free from sin. We don't have to serve sin anymore. We can say no. I know it's hard at times. There's some great sins out there. There's a reason alcoholism and porn and gambling are the highest things in the world right now. People are spending their money not because it's boring. There's a desire for there. We are freed from earning our salvation, legalism. We're freed from sin and its power over us. And we're also, this is a whole different topic we're not going to go through today, we are free from non-moral matters. What does that look like? Your day-to-day decisions. Dr. David K. Bernard, he calls it Christian liberty. You have the freedom to make decisions in your life. If it's not, you don't have the freedom to decide to murder somebody. That would be bad. I mean, technically, you do have the freedom, but that's not what it's talking about here. God didn't set us free to sin, remember? He said, in this case, we're talking about you are free to make normal decisions. It's your Christian liberty to make choices. We see this idea of being free in the children of Israel as they were, you've heard the story, they're slaves in Egypt. There's so many movies. They're slaves in Egypt. And they're freed from literal slavery in Egypt. And they were set free by who? God. Did they do anything to earn their freedom? Actually, no. I think the opposite. They probably worked hard to stay at times. But they were set free. And what was the reason they were set free? To live in freedom. In fact, Exodus 20 verse 2, you'll see this repeatedly throughout the Bible. God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. He didn't say, I helped you up. I was there next to you when you came up. I nudged you along so you could work your way up. He said, I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Out of the house of bondage. God is reminding them that I set you free from bondage. I set you free from these things, this slavery, this horrible life choices, which they didn't always have the choice of slavery here. He says, I set you free. The second thing I see in this verse is that freedom. Now we just reiterate, Christ provided freedom, and we can't do anything, right? We've got that scripture. But also I see in this verse that freedom is a choice. Well, that doesn't make sense because you just said Christ provided freedom. I agree. But when you read this verse, it's very interesting because Paul says, Christ, for freedom, Christ set us free. In verse 13, he says, you are called to be free. And so I see these phrases where he says, you're called to be free. He says, stand fast then in this freedom. He says, don't submit to slavery. He says, don't use freedom as an opportunity to do whatever you want. These are all words noting that Paul's saying, yeah, Christ has freed you, but you can choose not to live in freedom. I think we struggle with that sometimes. There's this idea that says, Christ has freed me, so nothing else matters. I can do whatever I want. But that's not what Paul's saying here. In fact, this verse, this idea of freedom being a choice, this verse has an interesting thought into it. And that is we can be freed by Christ and not live in freedom. We can be freed and not live in freedom. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know, Peter, you're taking that a little too far. Let me tell you a couple stories. This is really interesting. D.L. Moody was a preacher in the 1860s to 1890s. He was an evangelist. He traveled the country. Do you guys know what was going on in our country in the 1860s? Yeah, horrible slavery. And it was in Abraham Lincoln, and there was emancipation, and that was all great. But, you know, just because you emancipate something right away doesn't mean all the slaves were treated perfectly the next day. He's literally, D.L. Moody is preaching on this chapter, Galatians 5, and he tells the story of a former slave woman in the South after the Civil War. And he quotes her as saying, this is her, she says, am I free or am I not? When I go to my old master, he tells me I'm not free, that Lincoln had no right to sign that proclamation. When I go to my own people, they tell me I am free. I don't know which one to believe. A person can be legally free and still live in bondage because they've been deceived about their status by their old master. It's a shame that that happened to that woman and probably many others, but it happens in Christianity today. Believers can be legally fully free in Christ and still live functionally enslaved because they believe their old master's lies about their status. Think of a prisoner. Think of a prisoner. I've never been to prison. Well, I went to, they were building it. I went up there to the one in, where is it, Mauston or New Lisbon there, but I got to go into one of the cells. I mean, not that I ever wanted to commit a crime and go to prison, but when I did that, I'm like, I'm never coming back. I'm never, you know. It was the cell. It was like all concrete. It was not. Don't do that. Don't go to those. It's not good. But these prisoners, you've seen the stories, you've read the articles, you may have even seen the movies. It's such a rigid schedule. You're in your cell, you're out the cell, the bell, the door's open, here's when you can eat, here's when you can't eat. Yes, sir, yet no, sir, may I have a what, right? It's very rigid. And so when a prisoner leaves the prison system and is freed, they have some choices. They too can choose to live under the rules. They can say, well, I'm free, but I'm just going to stay in my house. I'm going to wake up when I had to wake up when I was a prisoner. I'm going to eat the meals at the same time I was a prisoner. I'm not going to go anywhere except for this. I'm going to follow all the rules of being a prisoner. And actually, there's this weird, it's a normal thing, but this like integration period. You've heard about it from soldiers coming back from overseas. It's the same thing coming out of prison. They don't know what to do with themselves. They're so used to the rules and the laws. They're like, well, I'm free. I'm like outside, physically outside of the fence. But what do I, like, all I know is to wake up at 7 and eat my breakfast and then go back to my bed and wait there and read a book until 10 until I get yard time. And, you know, that's all they know. They are free, but they're not free because they're living under the rules of a prisoner. And when they are living under the rules of a prisoner, when they are still following legalism, they are still bound. They can be physically walking around the world outside of the constraints of a prison and be physically and still be bound by the rules and trying to follow them. The other option, we've been talking about this legalism and we'll call it license, but the other option is they can be freed, they can be outside the fence, and they can say, you know what, now that I'm freed, I'm going to go murder somebody. I'm going to go rob a bank. I'm going to go do something stupid. And then they become bound by those decisions. That's what Paul's talking about. He's like, Christ has freed you, but don't be stuck back trying to earn your salvation. And also, don't be out here doing whatever your heart desires, because both of those end up back in slavery. We see this same idea in Egypt. They come out of Egypt. And they really have two choices, because God has called them to freedom. And they, I'm going to say they have two, I'm going to tell you a third one in a little bit, okay? But they have two choices in their mind. Well, one, and they complained about this, they're like, please let us go back to our masters. Let's go back to that regimented schedule. Let's, you know. Or they could say, you know what, we're free. We're going to do whatever we want. We're going to go out here and party and do crazy stuff. They had the opportunity for legalism, and they had the opportunity for license. But both of them will send them back to slavery. Both of them will keep them bound. We don't get freedom from legalism. Christ has made us free, but we can't earn it. And Christ has made us free, but we don't get freedom from doing whatever our heart desires either. Paul is saying that's not freedom. Don't use this opportunity of freedom. You're called to freedom, but don't use that as an opportunity to do whatever you want. So how do we walk in freedom? Christ has made us free, and it's a choice to walk and live in that freedom. So how do we walk in freedom? In John 8, well, the short version is Jesus is how we walk in freedom. But let's clarify further. John 8:31 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Side note, if you want to be a disciple of Christ, get in the word. Okay. Verse 32, and so he's continuing, I think. It's not a new sentence. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We see this process, this order. He's saying, he talked to Jews who believed, and he tells them to abide in the word, and if you abide, you'll know truth, and if you have truth, you'll be free. Freedom comes from truth, which comes from God's word, which comes from abiding in his word. Not earning it, not following the 613 commandments in Exodus, it comes from following God's word, from abiding in his word. Western culture assumes that truth comes first. In fact, there's people all over YouTube searching for truth before they follow Christ. It's like, well, if I find truth, then I will begin to abide in his word. If I find truth, then I can abide once I know that it's true. But what we see in this verse is abiding is not the result of knowing truth. Abiding is not the result of knowing truth. Abiding is the means of knowing truth. And truth is relational. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we know truth through relationship with Jesus Christ by following him and by following his way. And when we follow Christ, we are set free. Psalms 119 takes it, David says, I will walk freely in an open place because I study your precepts. He didn't say, I understand truth and therefore I'm free. He said, I will walk freely because I study your precepts. Freedom comes from following God's word in your life, from following what Jesus says. We don't have to wait until we fully understand a passage intellectually before we can start living it. That's what faith is. You can just start living according to God's word and the leading of the Spirit, and you will learn to know truth. In John 16, 13 through 14, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will declare to you what is to come. I love that at the end, in verse 32, he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And then they say in 33, but we are descendants of Abraham, they said, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. We've never been enslaved. How could you say you will become free? Jesus responded, truly, I tell you, everyone who commits a sin, oh, there it is again, is a slave to sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We cannot walk in freedom by trying to earn it, and we cannot walk in freedom by doing whatever we want to do. The first way we walk in freedom is by abiding in God's word, by following what Jesus says for our lives. Not following the rules, but trying to follow Jesus, spending time in his word. It's been said that if the Son sets you free, you should be free indeed. It says you should know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the truth sets you free, Brother Lomax told me, then a lie must keep you bound. Jesus is a truth, and the devil is the father of all lies. Living according to the lies is what keeps us bound. Following Jesus is what sets us free. The second way we can walk in freedom that I see in Scripture is to walk in the Spirit, to be led of the Spirit. In fact, 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Oh, so you're telling me wherever God's Spirit is, if I'm with that, there's freedom. Yep, that's what it says. Okay, that's cool. So where do I find the Spirit? Glad you asked. It's everywhere, but it also wants to be inside of us. Jesus said, I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. He talked about this promise of the Father, his Spirit living inside of us. And so the Spirit is in us, leading us and directing us, and we are following the Spirit. There is freedom that comes from following and being led by the Spirit. Let's go back to the children of Israel. Now remember, they had two choices. They could go back and follow all the rules and try to earn their way out. That was never going to happen in Egypt. You're not going to earn your way out of slavery. They could go into land, do whatever they want. They would have just been bound again. But let's read what it says with Nehemiah. Nehemiah writes this back. He writes this in chapter 9, verse 19. It's talking to God. He says, you did not abandon them in the wilderness because of your great compassion. So God was with them. During the day, the pillar of cloud never turned away from them, guiding them on their journey. And during the night, the pillar of fire illuminated the way you should go. You sent your good Spirit to instruct them. Verse 20. You sent your good spirit to instruct them. It wasn't about for them anymore the choice of going back to slavery or the choice of using their freedom now out of slavery to go do whatever they want. They had the option to walk in freedom by following the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud in their life. If the musicians could come, I'm wrapping up. I think too often we put ourselves in the same position as a prisoner. We say, yes, I accept you, God, as my Savior. God, yes, you're there. Yes, God has provided freedom by grace alone, or by faith alone, and grace alone, through Christ alone. That's great. And he has provided that freedom, but I can choose to not walk or live in that freedom. I can be completely set free and not walk in the freedom that God has made for me. We do that, church. Maybe you're here and it's like, well, I'm just starting on this journey with God. Man, you are in a perfect spot because you don't got to unlearn anything. You can just start following God. And also, sometimes we come to church and we've been coming to church for quite some time and we're not walking in freedom. Oh, Christ has freed us, and yet I feel bound. I feel bound. Well, when I'm thinking about it, I'm praying about it, maybe journal about it, sometimes like, wow, I'm following some of my own desires here. Those are leading me to slavery. That's what Paul's talking about. Or maybe, you know, if you're really thinking about it, you might say, well, I feel bound. I just feel trapped. And it's like, are you trying to earn it? The freedom's already yours. God's given you freedom. If you're on this side trying to earn it, you're definitely not walking in freedom. You're walking in earning it. And you're just a slave to that, and you're always going to feel bound by that. But Christ has set us free. He has freed us to be free. He didn't just free us to get us out of prison. He didn't just free us to get us out of Egypt. He freed us so we could walk in freedom. Listen to Galatians 5. We're going to keep reading. Man, you want to have some fun? It's only like 6 chapters. Go read Galatians. It's phenomenal. Listen to this. So we just read... I read 13 and 14 a minute ago. For you are called to be free, brothers, only don't lose freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Listen to verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you won't carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires the things that are against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh, and they're opposed to each other so that you don't end up doing what you want. If you're just going to give in to your desires, you're going to be bound. And you'd be like, how did I end up here again? Verse 18, no, there's hope. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Oh, he just got them both, didn't he? He's like, don't do your own desires. That's not led of the Spirit. And if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Oh, that's what I want to be, led of the Spirit. If you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. You want to see what happens when you do whatever you want? Well, there's going to be sexual immorality. There's going to be moral impurity. There's going to be promiscuity, adultery, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, anything similar. I'm sure we could all check one of those boxes off from time to time. Get a little anger. Yeah. I'm warning you about these things as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Christ has freed you, but pursuing your own desires will leave you bound and trapped and not able to get into the kingdom of God. Not because Christ is evil, but because we're choosing our desires over the freedom he's already made for us. Tell me if this sounds like freedom. But the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit, what happens in your life when you're walking in the Spirit? This is what happens when you walk in the Spirit. There's love. There's joy. There's peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. And listen to how he ends it. The law is not against such things. It's not about the law. Those just happen. You don't seek those. You don't earn those. You don't manufacture those. Those come into your life from walking in the Spirit. Would you stand with me this morning?